Isaac, and through him came the Christ, and except they know Jesus, their Lord, they do not know Allah. Neither do they know the only God who is, the great and eternal God, the blessed and only potentate, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Praise his matchless name. So Paul and Peter and those back there teaching to these people, bringing them into the gospel, had to make sure that they were not just worshiping God. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the prophets in time past, in the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. And we must recognize God in Christ Jesus, or it does us no good. Because he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him, because he that hath not the Son hath not the Father. Because Jesus told them plainly, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. They cannot bypass Jesus and find God. Now these are the things that Peter is telling them, but to the church now, he has a message of what to do, or we need instruction. How can we find God? How can we know the will of God? What shall we do that we might obtain eternal life? And they tell us these things, and yet in spite of these things, they must know also how to arrive at these things. And I think with Peter and Paul together here, we may find both. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, that is, eternal life, and godliness, or godlikeness. He has given us all in his word as to how to attain these things and how to have them. Through the knowledge of him that has called us through glory and virtue, whereby, that word virtue is strength, not physical strength, but always in the sense of spiritual strength, virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these precious promises that God has given us, and by the operation of God through the Spirit, washing away our sins, giving us life, and giving us a new life in Christ Jesus, and imparting and imputing unto us even the righteousness of Christ, where we had no righteousness, his righteousness has become our righteousness, for he dwelleth in us, and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers, take part of the divine nature, that you might take part in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, And besides this, giving all diligence. Now, he speaks of those precious promises and godliness. And beside this, giving all diligence. That being very alert. Diligence really means to be on your toes. Alert. Quick, ready to accept, to receive, to reach out, and to do whatever God demands of us and his commandments tell us to do that we might obtain eternal life. Giving all diligence, well, I just am anxious to, all right? Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Strength. Add to your faith. Now, when you believe on him, it's not just enough to believe on him. It's not just enough to believe that he is the Holy One of Israel. That's not enough. The devils believe that. All the demons had to confess that. We know thee who thou art, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. We know thee who thou art. That's not enough. Well, you believe there is one God? Thou doest well, the apostle says. The devils also believe and tremble. It's not just enough to believe. Now you have faith in God, but what is your faith like? Faith is not enough. You must have, add to your faith, strength. Spiritual strength. Peter had a little faith. It looks like that those back in the boat almost didn't have what Peter had. He had more than they did, apparently. But he had a little faith. We know he had a little faith. He stepped out on the water. When Jesus bid him, he said, Lord, if this is you, you bid me to come. Faith was rising up in him. And he said, come. And when Jesus said, come, he said, I'll do it. He stepped out upon the waves and the water, and it was dark, and the waves were boisterous, and they were afraid all the while that their boat was going to sink. But Peter stepped out, turned loose of the boat, and walked toward Jesus. But because his faith was not strong, he began to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand, he called out, Lord, save me. You know, you're not saved just because you believe. You still need him to save you. Because a little faith wasn't enough for Peter. He began to sink. And Jesus said, O thou of little faith. Peter said, I thought I had a lot of faith when I turned loose of the boat. And I say he has more than many of us do have. But Jesus said he had a little faith. So Peter here says, add to your faith spiritual strength. So as Jesus, when he said, when you pray, don't look for the symptoms of what you have. Believe that you have the thing that you prayed for. Now, in the Greek, more literally, it says, believe it is happening. Believe it is happening. And I try to get people, never mind what you feel like. Never mind if it feels like it's even worse. Never mind. You prayed, and Jesus said, if you pray for something, and if you believe that it's happening, happening, there's where our problems come in. There's where our problem comes in. But God, Peter's trying to teach you now. These are not unbelievers, they're believers. He's trying to teach you how to arrive at this thing, how finally to get it. And we don't get it all at once. We grow in grace, and we have to say, Lord, help my unbelief, even when we believe. Because it's come so short of what God wants you to grasp, that if God says it, that settles it. And if you can believe it, oh, but I did believe with all my heart. All right. Then can you trust him? Can you trust him? Maybe he wants to try your faith just a little bit. Maybe he just wants to see if you believe it. Oh, you say, I trust in God. I just know he's going to. All right. We'll give you a chance to prove it. Prove it. Do you object to him proving you? Because you see, the proving of your faith, the trying of your faith, work of patience, and patience experience, and experience gives you hope. Well, you eventually get faith that moves things. But it's a hard process. It really is. And if we're not accustomed to proving God and trusting God and waiting on God and seeing it happen, I mean, wait until it looks like it isn't going to happen. Nevertheless, you believe him anyway. And then see it suddenly just happen just like that. Well, you said I've been weeks on this thing and it didn't happen. And here it is just like that. Just like that. No problem. But when you have waited out and you've beat the devil, when you've resisted the devil until he has fled from you, you're free. Then you've got faith. You say, now, thank you, Lord. Next time I'll remember that. But do we? Not always. It's more difficult. But I'll promise you one thing. Once you have done this, you'll have more faith next time. Yeah, but he'll try me harder next time. That's all right. That's all right. God's still faithful. God's still faithful. Trust him no matter what. Now, if you believe that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, can't you trust him? I mean, even unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, but then you're thinking about this life, and you're feeling now, oh, we're in a world that's tormented, and there's a reason for it. Sin and ungodliness, and even though we're trying to do God's will, we're missing it in so many places, even when we don't know it. Even when we don't know it. And he's already told you the consequences of it, and he can't change it just because you don't know it. But we find as we learn more about the truth of God, we begin to obey him in more areas that pretty soon our problems are largely solved or not so much. However, with little children, with people who just come in, he is very gracious with them. When I first came to Jesus, he worked a miracle for me, just like that. Just, and not only once, but several times. And now I have trouble of getting rid of some things. The devil beat me over the head, and I pray, and I know God, and I've seen these things, and I know God is true, and I'm still having to go through. Why is it? Well, I've got to grow too, you know. God wants me to believe him more. He wants me to do more. He wants me to prove him more, because harder times are coming. More devils are turned loose than ever before. I mean, and the powers of darkness are settling upon the earth. God's people are going to have a faith that's going to stand no matter what happens. Let's not fall under these things, but let me go on now and let Peter tell it. Add to your faith, besides having, knowing all this, besides this, giving all diligence, being alert and on your toes, add to your faith spiritual strength. Strong. You remember what happened, as Paul tells it in Romans 4, 19 and 20? Abraham, not being weak in faith, he considered not his body, now 100 years old. Now, if Abraham had been weak in faith, he would certainly have considered his body 100 years old. And knew that by that time, if God didn't give him that promise in the last 25, 30 years, and he's now in a place where he's so old he couldn't possibly have, and his wife is 90 years old, she couldn't possibly have it. You see, weak in faith, he would have considered that. But the scripture says not being weak in faith, he didn't consider that, but being strong in faith, is that what it says? But being strong in faith, he was persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised, giving glory to God. Now, you see the difference? What was the difference? The difference was, with Peter, he had a little faith. Wasn't strong enough. Therefore, he began to sink. Abraham stood as an example of faith, and because he had faith in God, God made him his friend. He became a friend of God, and his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, if you have faith in God, it'll overlook and God's grace and God's love for his people whom he has chosen. And God's purpose was when he made man that he should be to his glory, that they should be his sons, they should be his children. And he had an inheritance of everything to give them. And he provided for them in the beginning a garden that had everything was very good. God's purpose was not that man should be down here like this. He created him. He made him a little lower than the God of gods for a little while. Until he should bring him through the school and make of him a son of gold. Come forth as pure gold. That's what God wants. Children, that through their own will and volition and belief in God will inherit the promises. Now, in 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 6, let me see if I can find it here. Yes, 1 Corinthians 9:25. Every man that striveth for the mastery, and you know, the Apostle Paul teaches us that the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is the highest mark. That's the highest prize. He wants the mastery. He wants to get that crown of life that fadeth not away. He wants to be in that out-translation, out from the resurrection from among the dead ones. He wants to be in that group to go up to be with Jesus when he comes. He wants to be those who are overcomers, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so it says that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, that is, on the earth, but we an incorruptible crown of life that fadeth not away. And then we also find here in 2 Corinthians 7:1 a verse of Scripture that fits right in here too. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, and he is talking about the same promises that Peter is talking about, because they're both preaching the same gospel, saying the same things in a little different way sometimes. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your spirit, my spirit. Cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what Peter's talking about also. Paul preaching, same thing. And to notice, besides giving diligence, add to your faith strength. And to virtue, strength, knowledge. Knowledge. Get to know God's word. Now, here in the school, we're getting to know God's Word. We know what it says here. We know what it says there. We understand this now. We're learning more and more and more. But it's not enough just to have faith. We must have strong faith. It's not enough to have just strong faith. We must know God's Word. Showing ourselves approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need that. It's not just enough to have the knowledge, it's also wisdom to use the knowledge and know the to be able to teach and give them the understanding. To knowledge, temperance in all things. Now, there is some in the teaching even of the word. There is such a thing as intemperance. Now, the scripture says that God admonishes his people to be temperate in all things. To be temperate in all things. There are preachers out here that are throwing out the gospel in such a fashion, and it's not gospel, a lot of it. But they're throwing out God's promises, and they're adding to it such things as how that all you need to come to God and God will make you rich. He'll heal you of everything. Why, he'll touch you and heal you instantly. Just if you believe him, if you come, and they build up such a big thing beyond what God has said in the way God has said it, that if and when they come, many of them, a few of them might find it working that way for them, an awful lot of them don't. And they begin to lose faith in God. Oh, that preacher told us, see, they're being intemperate in their teaching, an awful lot of them. God has given them some power and all of that, but they go beyond. They go beyond and they build up things so big that people rush in there because we want this too. Sure, we want automobiles and airplanes and swimming pools and everything, anything you want, everything you want. That's the I Am teaching, but it's also in Pentecost. See, being intemperate a lot of times in these things, and in our zeal and zealousness for God. Sometimes we overreach, but God wants you to know the Word and then preach the Scripture the way God says it, and tell them what God tells them. And don't forget to tell them also that you'll be tried. You may have to wait on God. You may have to trust Him for a while. You may have to do like Job did. You may have to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even though you know that you're right with God, even though you know you've always done what God wanted you to with all your heart, as best that you knew, you'll still have to have something like that some of the time. So let's be temperate also in all things. And add to your temperance patience, because you may have to wait for the answer. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, that you may receive, you see, the promises. And sometimes we have to be patient until God gets through working in us to do with us what He wants to work in us through this testing and trial. And there are many, many reasons why God can't heal either you or me or somebody else right when He asks a lot of times. It'd be better for Him not to. Besides that, he can't, because he'd be going right contrary to his own word if he did, because there's some things God wants to correct in you or me or them, and God wants to correct them. He wants to get them to a place where they'll seek his face with enough earnestness they'll be willing to do what he wants them to do. If he heals them, they'll go right on their way. They say, I must be all right, or God wouldn't have healed me. But when he doesn't heal you, and he doesn't heal you, and he doesn't heal you, then they begin to say, Lord, why don't you heal me? And then God's able, when they get an ear that can listen to God, God may then be able to show them why. And it may be for another purpose that's not your problem at all. It may be that if God healed you so easily and all the time, that pretty soon you'd get to a place that you'd be beating everybody else over the head if they didn't do the same thing and get healed the same as you did. So God shows us that we just haven't got it all. You know, there's no physician but what around the country but what he gets sick too. He needs somebody to minister to him for a while. And then add to your patience godliness. Walk like a Christian. Act like a Christian. Speak like a Christian. Follow the command. Be like Paul. Be like Peter. Be like John. Be like Jesus above all things. Be like Him. Transform. Change from glory to glory into the same image. Are you? If you're not, you're not progressing. Godliness. But now, godliness can be an outward presentation. But be sure that your godliness, to be sure that your godliness is the kind of godliness that God wants, be sure that it includes brotherly kindness. Oh, you say, I'm walking with God, I'm doing all His will, I'm not doing any of these things, God has made me a new creature, and I'm just like, but how about your brotherly kindness? I mean, the people right in the church sometimes. Are you kind to them? Even though he is wrong and stumbled, are you kind to him? To others that don't know as much as you, are you kind to them? To those in the church who happen to say something maybe that they shouldn't, and they say it about you, are you kind to them? Are you tender-hearted, forgiving one another? Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ hath forgiven you. Can you do it with your brother? Are you doing it? See, so it's not, we need many things to get into the kingdom of God here and make us perfect with God and to God's sight, perfect in us. Oh, you say, well, oh, we'll never be perfect. Well, maybe not, but he told you to. Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you can't get any perfecter than that. You can't get any more perfect than that. God has called us unto perfection. Now, there is a perfection even in our weakness down here in which God will allow his perfection among his people. But he does call us continually to a greater, higher perfection in God. He does. He does. Don't think ever get to the place where you think you're perfect, because as soon as you do, you're imperfect. As soon as you think that, any time you think that, you're imperfect. You've got a long ways to go there. Then add to your brotherly kindness, says charity here. But that charity is that God-like love that loves him no matter what he does. Now, the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost is a kind, not the kind of the love that'll love you one day and not love you tomorrow because of something you did or said or something, or how they treated you, or any such thing. That love of God is steadfast. Now, it does not mean to love sinners like that and the ungodly. It means among the brethren. But you know the kind of love that you must have to have the God love is the kind that Jesus had. Scripture tells us, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. They denied him. They forsook him. They wasn't always perfect, but Jesus loved them unto the end because they were God's people. They were God's children. God had put them in his command, his hand. He loved them unto the end. For if, now all these things, no one of these things, not even two of these, not even three of these or four of these is enough, add to this that. See, we've got to keep adding to ourselves, especially in those areas where we have been missing. God demands all of these things, not just to believe on him, not just to be baptized in his name, not even just to read his Bible. He wants you, when you read the Bible, not to be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word, and then you will be justified, James tells us. And James knew what he was talking back out about because Jesus is the one that taught him. For if these things be in you and abound, if they really abound in you, if they're really operating in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll come to know Jesus in a more wonderful way than you ever knew him before. You'll be getting more like him all the time. You'll be given the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, Paul said. Now, he didn't mean everybody in there, but because some of them didn't have. But those who were progressing in God and were overcoming, they do have the mind of Christ. And when you get the mind of Christ, you know that everything Jesus did was right, everything he said was truth, and everything that God says in his words right, and everything that God does the way he does it is right. You have the mind of Christ, and you have no more problem. Well, why does God do that? Oh, no, you won't say that. If you say that, you don't have the mind of Christ. Jesus never questioned his Father why he's doing this. He simply said, Father, if possible, let this be, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will, because I know whatever you do is right. You see, I added a few words, but that's what he meant. That's true. That's just exactly what he meant. Now, Jesus, as the perfect example and as the Son of God, is ahead. He's our example. He's our Lord. He's our captain of our salvation. And he gave us an song in the Lord. I see that same thing Peter said. Add to your faith virtue, strength, spiritual strength. Paul says, finally, my brethren, now after all these things that I've told you, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah, that sounds good, but how are we going to do that? How can we do it? Now, you know that the Apostle Paul himself, he told you that in Romans 7, I believe, Paul was speaking. Let's take a look, see if that's it. In Romans 7, the Apostle Paul, he'd been having trouble too. And he's been through these things. He knows what it's like. But Paul found the way. Paul found the way. The 18th verse, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do his will. I want to. My will is to do his will. And that's present with me. I do really want to do the will of God. But how to perform that thing which is good, I find not. Now, you see, that's the trouble of every Christian. Every Christian has to go through this process. You do want to serve God, but somehow the flesh and the devil, you're just fighting two things there, see? One's the natural flesh, and the other is the absolute wily. Not. Now, you see, that's the trouble of every Christian. Every Christian has to go through this process. You do want to serve God, but somehow the flesh and the devil, you're just fighting two things there, see? One's the natural flesh, and the other is the absolute wily tricks of the devil trying to keep you from it. You're wrestling two at once, and that's difficult. We get rid of a couple of those, I'll get along better. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would do, that I do. Now, but Paul found the answer. Who shall deliver me from this body best? How shall I escape this condition? Paul said, I found out that it's through Jesus Christ, my Lord. For there is no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit, and not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those, no condemnation, therefore. Now, you see, his heart had been condemning because he wanted to serve God, but he couldn't find how to perform it. I can't find out how to do it. I want to do it, but I can't find out how to do it. And so Peter's been telling him to do this. Peter says, now add to your virtue of faith, do this, do that, do this, do this. And we must have them. But now, the Apostle Paul, he'll tell you also how to do it. How to do it. It's enough to one thing to preach to the people, do good. How in the world are you going to do good when you're in a body of flesh and the devils are all around you and all your relatives and your environment is just the contrary? How can you possibly do it? There is a way. There is a way. How can we do it, Paul? All right, the 11th verse. Put on the whole armor of God. A lot of people try to do it by putting on just a piece of the armor, just a little bit. Just stick a helmet on your head, maybe. I have faith. I've got faith. That's all you need. Just faith in God, that's all. I just faith, believe that Jesus did it, and that's all. Somehow Jesus did it back there, and that's it. That's not enough. You're vulnerable all over the body. You've only taken care of one thing up here. See, that's not enough. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles and the trickiness and the deceivableness of the devil. The whole armor. The whole armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You may think that you're wrestling against flesh and blood. Most of your problems do come through people. Through other people. But it's not the people that you're wrestling against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that wrestling means it's not just your struggles. You're not just struggling alone. You can't wrestle by yourself. If you want to wrestle, you have to go find somebody else to oppose you. And any time you're wrestling, you've got something to oppose you. Else you're not wrestling. So we're not fighting against flesh and blood, and neither are you fighting against those out here that you think's causing your trouble. That's not your problem. That's not your trouble. The devil's only using them to fight against you. He's only using them to say these things and do these things and to put these things before you and to try to persuade you. It's not them, it's the devil that's using you. Using them to wrestle against you to keep you from finding God. We wrestle not against people, flesh and blood, but against principalities, the chief responsible ones, against powers, spiritual powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, the darkness of this world, the sin of this world, the corruption of this world, the filthiness of this world, the disobedience of this world to the things of God. Those are the things. It's not the things themselves that you're so much wrestling against. We're wrestling against those principalities and powers and rulers that are responsible for it, that are bringing it, that are causing it. That's what you're ruling against. Therefore, he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from it. You find out that these people out here can't move you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you've got the Spirit of God in you and you've got the whole armor of God on you, they can't wrestle against you, no matter how much they wrestle. No matter how much they persuade you. How much they try to break down your faith. They can't do it. Not if you've got on the armor of God, they can't do it. You know the tricks of the devil. We are not ignorant of his devices. Once you are filled with God's Spirit and know his word, that's why we need to know his word. That's why we need to know that we not only need a part of his word, we need to know the other part of his word, because if we are obeying God in one thing and disobey God in another thing, we become sinners by that one thing we disobey, because he that disobeys the word of God and transgresses the law in one point, he just as might as well be guilty of all of it. You've disobeyed. Adam only did one thing. Eve only did one thing to cause all this problem. Just one thing. And it doesn't make a bit of difference whether it's a plum or an apple or a peach or a pear or anything else. If you just said, don't break a twig on it, and they broke it, that was it. Just one disobedience. God has a reason for everything he does the way he said it. Now, figuratively speaking, fruit of the garden of that tree. Looked very innocent. Doesn't make any difference whether it was that or whether it was something else or whether it was figurative. Anything that God tells us not to do, we had better not do it, because our good conscience in God will condemn our hearts, and we have been disobedient to our Heavenly Father, who has ordained that we should be his sons and come into his inheritance, to our inheritance in him. And one disobedience may cause you to lose your inheritance. It'll cause you to cease to be overcomers in many other areas. And one little thing will beget another little thing, and the little foxes that spoil the vine. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, in the heavenlies. Heavenlies, that word there is heavenly. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The whole armor. The whole armor. Don't leave a gap. Don't just put on a breastplate and leave your back exposed. Don't just put on a helmet and leave your legs, lower parts, and feet unshod. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may withstand, that you may be able to withstand. In the evil day. And having done all, to stand. After you've done all these things, then what do you do? After you've done all these things, if the darkness is getting darker and the wickedness is getting more so, then what do you do? The trials seem to be increasing, then what do you do? Do just like they did when they had gone up against the Red Sea and couldn't go any further. Just stand still. Just stand still and see the glory of God. See what God does. Just see what God does. Just stand still. You know what will happen? When you get to the place of where you just know you can't make it any further, you know what will happen? Just like that. Snatched up. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. Snatched up. Taken out. Like Lot was taken out of Sodom, out of the midst of the overflow. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. His word is truth. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Not some doctrine or otherwise will make you free. It's only if you have the truth, and his word is truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, you put on righteousness. That means you do no evil. Let not sin reign any longer in your mortal body. Mortify the deeds of your body. Put them to death. Kill them off. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Rule. Let not sin rule. You rule by the Holy Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God rule in you. Let God rule in you. Let Christ in you be the ruler. Breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's why most of you are here. Preparing yourself to go forth with the gospel of peace. How beautiful upon the mountains, upon the hills, in every city, every place, every nation, are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. That's the gospel. The gospel, that's what gospel means, glad tidings, good tidings. How beautiful are the feet. Now, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, showing yourselves workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, because if you go out with confusion, if you don't know the word, if you're wrong in the word in this place or that place or this place, how in the world are you ever going to bring the people to the unity of the faith? God has upset these denominations nowadays. He's upset the biggest churches in the world. They'll have had to bow. Now what's happened? Everybody's got a chance now to hear more and see more and measure it up with the Word of God and prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And when we see that all this out here has not made of them Christians as they ought to be, how about trying God's way for a change? You know what'll happen? A nation shall be born in a day and God will take them out. Right. Right, the truth of God will be made known, he said, that his word shall be made known. In the evening time there shall be light, and surely we're in the evening time because the day is far spent, and the night is coming when no man can work, and God wants to get us out before dark. Yeah. If possible. Maybe midnight before we get out, but God will take us out. Above all, taking the shield, and that's not just shield. In the Greek, that word is large shield. Large shield. I wonder why. It's the only place in the Bible that he uses the word shield, but he uses a word that said large shield. Now, the Greeks have a word for just ordinary shields, middle-sized shields, little shields, small shields. Supposing you go out to fight the devil, and you take a little shield about so big. It's a shield, isn't it? Sure. But if you got a big shield, it's much easier, because you know what he's doing? He's shooting you arrows that are got fire in them. And you need to quench that fire, or if you get those going around you, you're in trouble. Shoots a few of those into you. Take a large shield. Take the large shield of faith. Faith. See, that's why he said to add to your faith strength. That strength is, if you're going to have strength, if you're going to have the best of shield, you'll have to have one that's large enough to cover you. One that's large enough to protect you. And it takes this shield to protect you. And take the helmet of salvation. Get yourself saved till you know that you're saved, and take that helmet and get it on so that nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can persuade you haven't got it. And put it on your head until you know it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the same sword that God put in the hands of the cherubim at east of the garden to keep the way of the tree of life. And this is the word. And Jesus has on his a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords, and his name is called the Word of God, because he's the living Word. He is the living Word, which was God and was made flesh and dwelled among us. The Word was God, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and his name is called the Word of God, the living Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means your prayers have to touch all the saints. You see, as the cherubim's wings touched each other, the cherubim wings always touched each other. Your prayers have to touch each other. That's probably the only way you can have a body ministry, if your prayers touch one another. Your concern touches one another. Your praise and all is a body where the wings touch one another. You're praying one for another. All supplication for the saints. And then the last thing that Peter said in the 11th verse, and so, now he said, if you do these things, you'll be fruitful and you won't lack. For so, in so doing, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. With a real practical, helpful message, we need to be sure we have all the armor on. Let's turn to page 293.